Hello and welcome to a new edition of Rai Argentina to the World in English. This is the foreign service of Argentina's public national radio, broadcasting on the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International. The frequency is 5800 kHz. You can also find our programs in 8 languages on our website, rai.com.ar. I am Fernando Farias, and I'm bringing you this weekly edition of our English language program here at RAI Argentina to the World. If you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to qslrai@gmail.com. If you're a DXer and you want to send a reception report to us, use that email too, qslrai@gmail.com. We'll be replying with a digital QSL card. On today's program, we'll have a very interesting interview with an American expat who's been living here in Argentina near the Andes in the province of Mendoza for practically 2 decades. And he sent a letter a little less than 2 years ago to a very important newspaper about the reasons he lives in Argentina. The letter went viral, and we'll get to discover his story. His name is David English. This is RAI, Argentina to the World in English, and here we go. And today we've got a very interesting interview for our English language show on RAI, Argentina to the World. He is an American who, after surviving 9/11 in New York back in 2001, decided to move to Argentina to start a new life in the province of Mendoza. Before the pandemic, he wrote a letter that was published by a newspaper about the reasons he still lives here in this country now, despite the economic hardships that many Argentines cite as the reasons for leaving their home country and moving, for example, to Western Europe or North America. This man's letter went viral, and his story offered us Argentines a different perspective about our own country and about countries in general, for that matter. His name is David English, and I'm talking to him now. Hello, David. Thank you for this.
Hi, Fernando. Good morning.
Good morning to you, too. Well, why don't you start giving to us in a nutshell your life story, how you came to Argentina, why you settled down in Mendoza.
Okay. Well, one morning I was walking down the street in Manhattan on my way to a meeting with Citibank to sign a very important contract for my career, when all of a sudden an airplane flew over my head, about 500 feet, I suppose, and exploded into one of the Twin Towers. And on that morning, the Twin Towers collapsed along with my American dream and everything that I had planned and hoped for with the signing of that contract at Citibank that never happened. That was supposed to happen at 10 o'clock in the morning that day. And that, of course, was September 11, 2001. And so that changed my life radically and put me on the path to Argentina, because after September 11, 2001, I wanted to go as far away as I possibly could from ground zero. And I thought a wonderful place to go, kind of at the ends of the earth, would be Argentina, a country I'd already visited about 5 years previously on a Rotary exchange program, and had fallen in love with the people and the culture and the customs here. And so that put me on the path to Argentina.
So obviously it was a tremendous thing to witness, to be there during that human tragedy, that horrible day for the world, which was 9/11. I mean, did you run away from ground zero? I mean, what was your day like after the attacks began? I mean, did you escape? Right. Did you help? You know.
Right. The plane exploded above my head, and with that, kind of all hell broke loose, so to speak, around me. You know, I'll never forget a woman standing next to me on the corner, right to the entrance of the subway station. She received a call from her husband or boyfriend inside one of the Twin Towers, and she started to scream and cry hysterically. And so that was a very moving moment that I'll never forget, probably the most impactful moment of that day. But my parents always taught my brother and me when something happens like that unexpected to flee, to escape, to leave. Many people, I think, have a tendency to stand around and look and to gawk. We see this often with auto accidents, that people will break, stop, and stare and see what's going on, like moths are attracted to a flame or a bright light. But I was taught to not do that, to leave. And so I went into the subway station and got away before the towers collapsed. And the rest of the day was a difficult journey back to my house, my apartment in New Jersey. I lived directly across the Hudson River from Ground Zero in a place called Newport. And I had to take an Army engineering boat across the Hudson River to get back, stand in a line of thousands of people waiting to be taken across the river because all the bridges and tunnels were closed because of fear of bombs.
Yeah. I remember. I mean, that day here in Argentina, anything felt possible anywhere in the world that day.
Yes.
And obviously you gain a new perspective after surviving that, because if that meeting had taken place earlier or the attacks had begun a little later, well, it would have been a different story, of course.
Definitely. And I, every morning I arrived into the base of the World Trade Centers. There was a subway station there to go to work. And that morning I actually went in early to the office to get the contract we were going to sign to pick it up. And because I'd made some modifications overnight and I needed to print it out and take it at the office and take it to Citibank. And so luckily I went early, because if I hadn't gone early, the time that I usually arrive at the subway station was just about 9 o'clock or slightly before, and the first plane hit about 8:50 in the morning. So yes, these coincidences in life are rather amazing. And certainly that day I was taught several important lessons, and one of them is to be grateful for whatever time
absolutely
we have here on Earth.
Absolutely.
And the other is to prepare instead of plan.
Yeah.
And that's something also I learned here in Argentina.
Yeah. Improvise, you mean. I mean, it's a different word for improvising.
Right. The Argentine way, right?
Yeah.
Flexible, to improvise.
Yeah.
To not have everything planned out in such detail.
Yeah.
I think before 9 o'clock on the morning of September 11th, I kind of had a lot of my life planned out in my head.
Mm-hmm. For years ahead of you.
The rest of it. Years and years and years, which is something here in Argentina, of course, we never do.
No.
And that I've learned is really a rather absurd way of living, because it's normal in life that we experience these surprises, positive or negative, sometimes quite negative, say a car accident, an illness that we get, the death of a loved one, a pandemic,
a
terrorist attack. That sooner or later, all of us go through some type of personal tragedy on a very personal scale, or on a macro big scale, society or global scale. And these always drastically change whatever plans we have. So I say it's better to prepare than to plan.
Absolutely. Right? Yes. And do you remember if you made the decision of starting a new life that very day, or it was a process that went along for some days, some weeks?
Yes, I'd say it was a process that went along for several weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The experience of living directly across the river from Ground Zero, not being going back to work for many weeks, and then losing my job as a result of the attacks because Citibank didn't want any more to proceed with the contract, the nightmares and whatnot.
Yes.
Wake up at night dreaming, jumping out of bed, dreaming that the building was falling down on me. And
absolutely.
Things like that. So it was a very intense experience that motivated me in the weeks following September 11th to want to go as far away as possible.
And by far away as possible, you mean out of the country. I mean, you didn't consider moving to the rural U.S.?
No, because I think also there were some aspects of U.S. culture and society that I experienced after 9/11 that bothered me profoundly.
For example?
As an example, very, very quickly people popped up around Ground Zero selling souvenirs.
Jesus.
That I thought was in very bad taste. Mm-hmm. You know, like hats and pins and T-shirts, photographs of the attacks. People, street vendors and souvenir stores. I thought that was extremely bad taste, especially around what it was basically for many, many weeks, an open grave of 3,000 people.
Yes.
And just the other reactions. When I was, you asked me about the day that I, of September 11th, am I going home? When I got back to my apartment complex, I was stunned to see that we had tennis courts at the apartment complex. Again, this is directly across the river from Ground Zero. So from the apartment complex where I lived, you had a completely unobstructed view of Ground Zero with the smoke rising and everything else. There were people playing tennis at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. They were on September 11th.
Yeah.
There were people playing tennis on tennis courts in my apartment complex.
Mm-hmm.
I could not believe it. And this is this is in plain view of Ground Zero.
Yeah, yeah.
So these type of things that I saw and experienced afterwards, including the fear, I think, of right in the weeks later when they open the subways again and open the bridges, if you're riding on the subway and you see somebody who looks a little suspicious, or you see somebody who is who's Muslim and dressed as a Muslim, and they've got a backpack with them, or they've got a brown paper bag, that turns on a prejudice right, that we have. That's a subconscious prejudice, right? Something I couldn't control. The tremendous fear that that person was a terrorist, that had a bomb.
Yeah.
Of course, probably a real terrorist would have been disguised himself and never looked like that. It's not a logical prejudice.
No,
it's not a logical fear. So like the combination of those factors, I think, really motivated me to leave the country. To again, as far away as possible, to a place with different values, a different culture, with people who are kind of famous for their warmth and focus on relationships. And Argentina, for me, was that ideal place in the world. I traveled all over the world, been to many countries, but Argentina was one I'd been to before and knew and really felt like the culture and the people would be best for me after the experience that I lived through.
Your trip to Argentina a few years before 9/11, what did you visit? How many days did you stay? I mean, you kind of liked the country. I don't want to say fell in love, but maybe
I was here 6 weeks, and I started, the very first place I went was Ushuaia. And so we started literally at the end of the earth. It was my first experience in Argentina, and with my group study exchange Rotary teammates, there were four of us, we traveled all the way up through Patagonia to Buenos Aires. So we went from Ushuaia to Rio Grande, Rio Gallegos, we went to Comodoro Rivadavia, we went over to Cafayate, Estel, Bariloche, then Bahía Blanca, Mendoza, Buenos Aires. So we really saw in 6 weeks a lot, and much of that by bus, not by plane. And so we really saw a lot, and we stayed in the homes of Argentines. So in each little town, we'd stay with an Argentine family who was in Rotary.
Okay,
we weren't staying in hotels either. We were staying with. It was a very intense experience.
You were given a crash course in Argentine hospitality, because living with Argentines in the interior, I mean, people sharing mate with you and making you part of the life. I mean, I can imagine that.
Yeah, it was the first time I'd ever had tartes that are called the homemade.
Grande,
and I fell in love with tartes de ricotta as well.
It's very good. Do you like the variety when they have dulce de leche with it, or you just the ricotta?
I do. Well, I like them both. I'm an addict. Tartes de ricotta,
it's very good.
Ricotta cheese pie. For people who don't know, it's, I think they eat it maybe in Italy as well. But it's an Argentine dessert that is. It is just fantastic, and we don't have it in the United States. So,
so then you moved to Argentina in which year? And you didn't have any contacts here. You didn't have any.
I did know some people.
Okay.
I did know some
Spanish
from having been here before. My Spanish was kind of an intermediate Spanish, and I moved towards the end of 2002 here to Argentina. And you know, I started kind of from zero. You know, I had some savings that I brought with me. But I didn't have a job. I had to start my own business, which I wanted to do. And
it was a tough year. Tough year for Argentina.
It was. I changed from one crisis to another.
Yeah.
But, you know, I changed from kind of a societal cultural crisis to an economic one. And I think often in economic crises, there's opportunity.
Absolutely.
Right? It can actually be a great time to start a business.
That is a very American way, in a positive way, I'm saying it. I mean, a very American way to see opportunity in a crisis. Argentines are, I believe, much more, they fail to see the silver lining in crisis.
Yeah, I think human beings in general, generally speaking, the majority of human beings don't see the silver lining. Mm-hmm. The majority of human beings focus on the glass being half empty rather than half full, mm-hmm. negative and pessimistic, and so they're blind to opportunities because they focus too much on the negative and what can't be done or what shouldn't be done or what's difficult to do. But again, often that's the moment to start a business or to change your life. Mm-hmm. At least for me, it worked. It was the ideal time to come here, especially to Mendoza, where I live.
You went directly to Mendoza. I mean, out of all the places you've been to, you skipped Buenos Aires altogether. You didn't even consider the capital.
Well, I did consider. I considered Buenos Aires. I considered Mendoza and Cordoba. But I liked Mendoza the best because it was so undeveloped in terms of tourism and foreign investment. Yet it was a place that had so many positive attributes between the wonderful climate, which is like the Southwest United States, a place like Phoenix or Tucson, Arizona, mm-hmm. the mountains here, the Andes Mountains, some of the most beautiful, highest in the world, mm-hmm. the outdoor life, the city itself, which is small, relatively
the
small,
wine.
About a million people, the wine industry here with all the wineries, the wonderful food and the beautiful, friendly people. I said to myself, this is incredible. This is a gorgeous, wonderful place with so many attractive attributes, but nobody's here. Nobody knows about, in the Northern Hemisphere, about Mendoza.
Absolutely.
About this great place. It's going, sooner or later, I thought, it's going to take off. It's just a matter of time before it's discovered as an alternative to Europe and an alternative to many other tourist destinations in the world as this undiscovered gem. It hasn't been tainted. It hasn't been overrun by tourists. Nobody's here. So I thought in terms of tourism and investment, Mendoza would sooner or later really take off. And at that time, it was incredibly inexpensive in 2000.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So, you know, you could have a fantastic steak here for maybe $2 or $3.
Yes.
Back in a place like New York City would have cost $30.
Yes.
The same thing with hotels, with all kinds of services, the wonderful wine. So it just seemed like an ideal place to start a business.
So fast forward to 2019, you write this letter that was picked up or published by Clarín newspaper, one of the biggest newspapers in the country, in which you basically highlighting the positive things that you discovered in the country after almost two decades living here. I mean, having a son, having a life, having a business, amid a context in which many Argentines, well, they see the half empty part of the glass, and they want to move and maybe ask why an American is living Argentina when they come, in their view, from paradise, from a world where everything works.
That's what many Argentines believe, that it's the country overseas. It's Canada, Spain, United States, Germany, Australia, that those are paradises, that everything, if they could only get there, that everything would be better. And I suppose for many people in an economic sense, that's true. You can have more cars. You can have a bigger house. You can have more better, fancier furniture living in a place like the United States or Australia or Canada. But there's many, many customs that we have here in Argentina that do not exist in those foreign countries, and certainly not in the combination that we have here in Argentina. And I think many Argentines forget that or just don't realize it because they haven't ever lived in those overseas countries.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the case.
They don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know what they'd be missing.
Yeah, it's a case of the grass is greener.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. And, you know, you have to travel a lot. I think live overseas in other countries to realize these things. Often in life, it's in the contrast of things where we learn, where we realize what we have and don't have, or who we are and who we aren't. You have to have those experiences. You have to have that knowledge. You have to see that contrast in order to learn that.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I was able to travel and see those things.
Some of the things that you list on that letter really really resonated. For example, the access to quality university education in Argentina, which is practically a birthright. You have the right to go to university for free, or at least you pay it with your taxes. Another thing that is, I suppose, is very important for an American is the fact that we don't have this discussion about the right to bear machine guns or automatic rifles by any citizens. Nobody here argues that those are weapons that belong with the military or the police. That debate is absent, and I suppose that's a thing that you valued.
Yes, certainly, and also in a similar way, the debate about wearing masks or not in the United States, which is related, I think, in a way, to the debate about guns.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the United States, it's such an individualistic society that often I have students who visit here in Argentina, in Mendoza, that's one of my businesses, and I ask them to raise their hands if they can define for me the word solidarity for a group of, say, 50 American students. And with luck, maybe two or three will raise their hand.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the United States, the concept of solidarity and the word itself is not used, and people don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the concept of individual rights in the United States that, you know, the government can't tell me what to do. Nobody can tell me what to do. And if I don't want to wear a face mask to reduce the chance of spreading the virus, then I don't have to.
Yeah.
So it's all related. And again, that's another aspect of the culture that I didn't like in the United States and I really liked in Argentina,
mm-hmm.
was that solidarity. And you see that manifested here and that emphasis on solidarity and relationships and many, many customs, like going to the park to drink mate, making asado barbecue with your friends, going out dancing all night with your friends and staying out all night. The sobremesa, which is chit-chat or small talk after dinner,
mm-hmm.
or after lunch, where you spend an hour or two just sitting around the table talking. The siesta that we have here in Mendoza, we take a nap for an hour or two every afternoon.
Mm, it's energizing, yeah.
To find those things in New York City, they don't exist. I think many Argentines who think about moving to places like New York don't realize all those customs in New York City. Nobody takes a siesta.
No.
Nobody sits at the table after lunch or dinner for an hour talking.
I mean, you can't just pop up at the house of a friend or a neighbor without a pre-scheduled meeting or an arrangement that you prepare weeks in advance.
Right. No. That's considered very rude in the United States. That's mm-hmm. offensive. You would never do that. Certainly not in a place like New York. It's a little different in the countryside. In small towns in the United States, you'll find some of these customs or more of a focus on personal relationships and on family. But, you know, sacred Sundays, at least here in Mendoza, you know, families every Sunday is a day for families to get together and have lunch, spend a couple hours with the asado, drinking mate, then sitting around the table with the small talk chit-chat, what's called sobremesa
mm-hmm.
here. That does not exist in many, many, many parts of the world. Many of these supposedly better countries
mm-hmm.
are, in fact, poor countries compared to Argentina because they don't have these customs. They don't have these mm-hmm. This culture.
Yeah, it's all part of the equation. I mean, the economic advantages and or disadvantages and the human advantages or disadvantages is all part of the equation, and each person has the right to balance that and make a decision based on that. But it's not a single truth.
Personal, I always say based on personal values. It depends on who you are as a person, what you value, what you want, how you want to live. For some people in the United States, it is ideal because they value much more the economic side mm-hmm. of life rather than the human side.
Mm-hmm.
And that's perfectly fine. That's a value.
Of course.
I think many people just forget about
don't
realize it.
Yeah.
They make the move. And I, after publishing that article, that letter that I wrote to Clarín, I got many, many letters from people, Argentines living in Germany, United States, Canada, telling me how much they appreciated
mm-hmm.
the article and that I had reminded them of all the things they're missing where they're living. Or that they felt the same way, that they were in Germany, had their life there, and they couldn't come back, but that they really missed.
Another aspect of your letter that I really like, and it resonated with me because I lived abroad, not in the US, but in the UK, is the children's culture, the fact that you can't turn away customers at a restaurant or a bar because you just show up with children. I used to work in a pub, and children were not allowed, but dogs were.
Exactly. And I suppose that's another aspect of U.S. culture that I didn't like, and why another reason why I've left and stay away and don't want to go back is that here there's such a positive pro-children culture No restaurant's going to say they don't allow children, but in some restaurants in the United States, particularly in places like New York and big cities, you'll see signs, no children allowed, or they'll have an implicit no children allowed policy. If you go with your child at 9 o'clock in the evening to have dinner, they'll tell you they don't have a table, or they'll tell you, I'm sorry, we can't have children here mm-hmm. at this time. So
yeah.
That's a very different attitude. Whereas here, I've been to very nice restaurants in Argentina and seen entire families, even with little babies.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the parents, during dinner, will change their children into pajamas or change the diapers, or the children are running around at
yeah.
the tables.
Of course.
And having fun and laughing, and everybody says, oh, how cute.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
In the United States, everybody's saying, no, these children
yeah.
are...
The parents would be apologizing. The parents yeah. would be apologizing.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Yeah, well, David, this is this has been great. I've got a final question, rather than a question, is a thought that I'd like you to share. If you can think, well, maybe you thought about it. I mean, obviously, you experience, you gain a new perspective on life, on people after surviving a tremendous ordeal, a crisis such as 9/11. Now, I mean, compare that to humanity now in 2020, this year that the world is going through an ordeal. Do you believe we are going, as species, as people, we are going to gain a new perspective after coming out of COVID-19 and be better at life, at understanding life, at valuing things? What do you believe is going to happen?
I think different people react different ways, and it's hard to say in general terms what will happen. I do hope that for many people, it will teach us to appreciate more the smaller things in life, and also the freedoms that we had and the positive aspects of our lives before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And just even, you know, just little things like being able to go out whenever we want, or and to get together with whomever we want. The restrictions we have here in Argentina on not being able to get together with family members on the weekends or share the mate or go out dancing, none of those things are possible now,
mm-hmm.
at least not legally. And so hopefully now when this ends, we'll better appreciate all those exactly human customs, relationship-based aspects of the culture that are really what's important about
mm-hmm.
life. I hope people's values will be changed for the better by this experience of the pandemic, and that they'll better appreciate what they have and see the glasses half full rather than the glasses half empty.
Great. Thank you very much. David, do you have a blog, a Facebook page, Instagram account
yes,
that people
yes.
can relate to?
Yes, the @ and then Soy David English. Soy is S-O-Y,
yeah.
David English. That is my... that's my location on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Excellent. Thank you very much, David, for this. This has been great.
Thank you, Fernando. I appreciate the opportunity to tell my story.
That was David English, an American living in Mendoza, a 9/11 survivor who still chooses Argentina as his home after almost 20 years. And with that, we come to the end of today's program of RAI Argentina to the World in English. Hope you enjoyed it. If you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to qslrai@gmail.com. I'm Fernando Farias. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and hasta la próxima.